The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What would have been the result if Jesus and the apostles would have been believed and accepted nationally? What a great question for us to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for listening. We get questions from listeners all over the world, and we're so excited to take a stab at today's question. It's one of those beautiful what if questions. Now, if you've got questions, you can send them to us, radio@faithalone.org. That's our email. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here we go.
One of the things that I find most interesting about the Bible is the topic of prophecy.
Absolutely.
And we can tell how important prophecy is to God because something like a quarter of the Bible is prophecy.
Right. At least at the time it was written. Much of it's been fulfilled. But
right. If you read church history, for hundreds of years, basically prophecy was either ignored or badly misunderstood.
Right. You know, dispensationalism really opened many people's understanding to prophecy.
Right. Absolutely. So during the Reformers' time, if I remember correctly, most of them were historicists. And they believe that, let's say, the book of Revelation was being fulfilled in their own day progressively through the different ages of the church. And you can see that in the Westminster Confession of Faith, where they identify the Pope as the Antichrist. And they thought that the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, you can see that in the book of Revelation. But in the 1800s, I think, especially with the Plymouth Brethren movement, dispensationalism as a way of reading scripture really came to its own, and people really started focusing on prophecy.
Right. John Nelson Darby and many others in the early Brethren movement, which is not to say that this theology didn't exist all the way back to the second century and the first century. It did, but we don't have it well developed, at least in writing, until we get to about 1830.
I mean, some people say, you know, the Reformation was a reformation in the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, with justification by faith apart from works. And other people say the Brethren movement was a reformation in eschatology, a reformation of our understanding of prophecy. I really enjoy prophecy, and I have a question here from Bob about prophecy. He says, "Morning, guys. In one of your podcasts, Bob mentioned something about Christ would have returned either 3.5 years or 7 years after he ascended, if Israel had responded to the apostles' preaching. I know that the kingdom did continue to be offered to Israel, but I don't know where in Scripture the timeline comes into play. Would you point me in the right direction?"
Okay, let me go to his second question first. Essentially, what would have happened if the nation of Israel had responded to the preaching of the apostles and their reoffers of the kingdom in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 3,
right,
and they had become a believing nation and a repentant nation in fellowship with God, so you would have had the condition necessary for the kingdom to come.
Right.
Well, then what would have happened is, first of all, you had to have the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple, because the Old Testament prophesied this. Maybe you could read Daniel 9:24
to 27. Yeah, so in Daniel chapter 9, God gives Daniel this amazing prophecy of the 70 weeks. And I think this is a prophecy every single Christian needs to know about. This is a key one because it really gives you an overview for all of history from Daniel's time to the establishment of the eternal kingdom. All
right. Right.
And God kind of gives this framework of 70 weeks.
Or right? 77s.
Or technically it's 77s. The Hebrew is not like a week of seven 24-hour days. It's just 77s, which most dispensationalists, I think probably all of them would say, every day is a prophetic year. Right.
Right.
So these are actually 490
and every
years.
Seven would be a prophetic week, or 77s is 490 years, but there's a gap between the 69th seven and the 70th
and
seven.
That is so interesting. So this is what happens. After the 62 weeks, and Daniel has just explained there was a first segment of seven. So 7 plus 62 is 69. So after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off.
That's the death on the cross.
So you have to understand the 69 weeks are already completed at this point. And
right.
So now we're entering into a gap between the 69th and the 70th week. So after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. That's Jesus dying on the cross, but not for himself. and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary.
So that means that the Romans, the revived Roman Empire, are going to destroy, or if this had occurred in the first century, they would have destroyed the city and the sanctuary, meaning the temple.
The temple. So that had to happen. That's part of prophecy. The end of it shall be with the flood until the end of the war desolations are determined. And then Daniel 9:27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And so that's the 70th week. And so, Bob, what you were saying is if Israel had accepted Jesus, believed in Jesus at the apostles' preaching in Acts 2 or 3, at that point, Messiah had been cut off, but at that point, the temple in the city had not been destroyed yet, and the covenant hadn't been signed yet to start the 70th week. So those events would have had to have happened.
Right. Now, we're speculating here, but we know they would have had to happen. How they would have happened is speculation, but here's my suggestion. If the nation had believed and repented, and you would have had a nation in fellowship with Messiah, then you would have had the destruction of the city and the temple, but it wouldn't have taken like 3 years, which is what happened between 67 and 70 AD. It probably would have happened in a month or so.
Right.
And very quickly they would have destroyed the city and the temple.
Right.
Obviously, you would have had Jews fleeing and being dispersed around the Roman Empire. Then the 7-year tribulation period would begin.
With the signing of that covenant.
With the signing of a covenant, and that wouldn't have been at the very moment that the nation believed. There would have had to have been that gap in there during which the city and the temple were destroyed. And then you would have had the signing of the covenant. Now, that begins the 70 weeks, which in the Old Testament is sometimes called the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
And we know it was 7 years long because of both the book of Revelation and also in Daniel chapter 12, we have 1,290 days mentioned and 1,335. And a biblical year was 360. Mm-hmm. So that 3.5 years was 1,260. So Daniel mentions 2 times, one of which is 30 days more than 3.5, and the other is 75 more than 3.5. And when you put this together with the book of Revelation, what would have happened is you would have had that 7-year tribulation period beginning as soon as you had the signing of the covenant.
Right.
But that would have been, let's say this was 40 AD, that would have been then.
Yeah.
And the kingdom would have come in around 47. Now, the second question that Bob is asking is about what if they had responded during the ministry of Jesus? Most likely it would have been the same scenario. Jesus would have been put to death, but this time the Jewish people would not be cooperating in it, right?
Right.
Because you would have had a believing nation.
I mean, technically, when Jesus was executed, he was executed by the Romans.
Correct.
Yes, the Jewish crowds were calling for his death, but that was a Roman decision, and the Romans decided to execute him. And what you're saying is, even if they all became believers, Rome still probably would have had a reason to kill Jesus.
Absolutely, and he would have been put to death on the cross. This was all prophetic, and it had to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
He had to die for our sins in order for us to be citizens of his kingdom, in order to have everlasting life. So he would have died. He would have risen from the dead 3 days later, just like he did. He would have appeared to people. Then you would have had, after that, the destruction of the city, destruction of the temple, and you would have had the 7-year tribulation beginning after that. I did hypothetically say it could be 3.5. The only way it could be 3.5 is if somehow the first 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry could count as the first half of the tribulation. There's really no way in which you could have all of that fulfilled and have that fit. So it would be better to say the kingdom could have come around 40 AD. If that were to occur, and there's more speculation there, it probably means there never would have been a Gentile church. It doesn't mean there wouldn't have been believing Gentiles. There would have been.
Right.
Although Jesus did talk about the church in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18. Of course, that's where it gets tricky because he knew what was going to come and that Israel was going to reject the kingdom, and
right.
et cetera, et cetera. But hypothetically,
What I find helpful about this speculation is that it helps you focus on the prophetic events that just need to happen. And so we're still waiting for the coming tribulation.
Right. We, of course, won't be in it. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells us to be watchful, to be Gregory Christians. Gregoreo is the Greek word for being watchful. Because we know he's coming in an hour when we don't expect. He's coming like a thief in the night. And Paul picks up on that imagery in 1 Thessalonians 5. Peter picks up on it in 2 Peter chapter 3. Mm. And it's also found in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. He talks about he's coming as a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see that all the way through. And we're to be watchful during this age, even though we won't be in the tribulation.
Yeah.
We know that when Jesus comes, the judgment seat of Christ is coming.
Part of your life and the life to come is going to be dependent upon the rewards you get. And the rewards you get from Jesus is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ when the church is raptured. So it's like it's all connected to prophecy.
Well, see, that's even another question. When will the judgment seat of Christ occur? It has to occur after the rapture.
Right, after the rapture.
And it has to occur before the millennium begins.
Right.
I think it's going to occur during those 75 days between the end of the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium that Daniel 12 talks about. And I think it will take place on earth.
And that's what makes prophecy not only interesting, at least to me, but it's also very practical because it's a part of your eternal salvation. It's not just about speculating about the history of Israel. It's also about understanding God's purpose, his eternal purposes for you and for the church.
See, you're making a good point here, Sean. The Bible is kind of like a flower, and that flower blooms and opens up the more you understand the prophetic picture. Because if you don't have the prophetic picture, well, then you don't believe in the judgment seat of Christ. You don't believe in the accountability that every believer is going to have. So our challenge to you would be, study the scriptures, because you love the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore you love his word. You want to be a student of his word so that your mind can be renewed and your behavior can be transformed. That's the message of Romans chapter 12 and verse 2.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On the Monday edition of Grace in Focus, we're going to discuss whether or not we should be praying for the end times to come. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.